Glad to have each and every one of you here. And we're going to continue on with our class on little things are a big deal, or little things can become a big deal. Before we get started, let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Almighty Heavenly Father, we thank Thee so much for this day. We thank You for the many blessings in our life. Thank You for the opportunity to be here. We thank You for the opportunity to study a portion of Your Word. We pray, Almighty God, that You would guide our hearts and our minds and let us to see Thy truth through Your Word, and that we would grow closer to You through Your Word. Be with those who could not be here this evening and return them to us, if be Thy will. Forgive us of our sins. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. So, tonight, the topic that I'd like us to talk about, or the one little thing that I want us to think about, is humility. You know, little things can really build up. And in light of the current situation that's going on here locally in Grafton and on the river, to exemplify little things being a big deal, there's no one single drop of rain that felt that it was responsible for the flood. But whenever you get a couple trillion of his little buddies around, it becomes a big deal, right? So when we take a look at humility, humility is something that's really, is really important. It's something that we try to instill in our children. You know, and it's one of those things that if you have to tell somebody that you're humble, you ain't. And identifying somebody that's humble, you really have to be looking for someone that's humble. Because what's a quality of somebody who is humble? If you were to describe somebody or use a synonym for a humble person, what's a synonym you think you might use for that person? Any ideas? Would quiet be maybe a synonym that you could use somebody who's humble? They don't brag about themselves. They're not boisterous. They're not loud. Somebody who is humble and can be very confident, and there's nothing wrong with that, but they don't self-promote. They don't promote themselves. They can do good things and big things, but mostly the credit goes to others around them and not themselves. Kevin?
I was going to say reserved.
Reserved.
To me, that fits the definition of what you're talking about. You're kind of in the background,
right,
so to speak, and others may notice that about you. I mean, a lot of times we may try to characterize meek as if that's some kind of weakness, but
right.
Really not, right?
Right. Meekness is where I was going to go next. That was the next synonym that I was going to bring up. So I'm glad you brought that up. Absolutely.
But that's kind of, I was just thinking reserve.
Yeah.
Quiet and keep to yourself and try to do those things that's right without drawing a lot of attention.
Correct. Dale? Right. They take care of what's needed to be done, and they don't expect anything in return. That is a humble person. And I'm glad Kevin said meekness, because we have Christ as our example, and he was described as meek. And I think that is the epitome of humility. You know, Christ had all power. He was God incarnate, God on the earth. He had all power, all right to do anything and everything that he chose to do and was within his power. Yet, he didn't lord his power and authority over anyone except for whenever he needed to, and it was a righteous call on his part. And it was necessary. But he was humble, and he is our example. And we have a great number of examples in the Scripture, and we're going to take a look at several verses about humility and biblical examples of humility and how we show humility. Kevin.
First off, if I shared with the class an example of just how humble I am.
Right.
You're going to probably go here, but I want you to go to Philippians 2, because that's really the best definition.
Philippians 2, 8?
Verse 3.
Okay.
That says, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, and here's where I think the definition comes in, but in humility, count others more significant than yourselves. So a humble person, just goes along with what you've been saying, is going to put the welfare of others before themselves.
Right. And you could, I was going to bring up Philippians 2, 8, so just further down in that chapter, it says, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross, talking about Jesus. The ultimate example of humility and humbling himself. He humbled himself because he was God incarnate. That is the ultimate example for us as to what humility and humbleness is as far as a Christian is concerned. So it may be it seems like a small thing, but whenever you get somebody, we've got different examples of individuals beating their chest, essentially saying, look at me, and how wonderful I am. The one that comes to my mind is the Pharisees preaching on the corner and saying, I thank God I'm not like this publican. I'm not like this sinner. He's pointing out the foibles of someone who he views as worthless. But that individual humbles himself before God. And as we're going to take a look, whenever you humble yourself before God, God is going to exalt you. So humility is a big deal to God, and we're going to see that here in a couple of these verses. So let's take a look. Let's start off with 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, verse 5. 1 Peter 5, 5. And I'm going to be reading from the ESV. So 1 Peter 5, 5, it says, likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another, for God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So here's a couple different things that we can draw from this verse. One, the younger versus the older, and the fact that, like I said earlier, God opposes the proud. God opposes those individuals who do not humble themselves. But in whenever you gives grace to the humble. So and that is a motivating factor for us to emulate humility in our lives. And individuals, you know, whenever I was young, I still am young compared to some, right? Okay, I'll take that, I hope, right? So, but I do remember when I was younger how stupid I really, really was. And not listening to the elders around me that were saying, kid, you'll figure it out. You'll figure it out, kid. I did not have humility in my youth. And this is one of those verses that's trying to express to the youth, listen to the elders. Listen to your elders. Be subject. Youngers, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves in humility. Haven't you ever heard that phrase, or I'm sure some of you have seen it on Facebook, whenever a teenager becomes a teenager, they know everything, and the wiser individual, the older individual will say, kid, write it all down, since you know it all right now, make sure you write it all down, so whenever you're older, you can look back on it and realize how much you really didn't know. Boy, I didn't know a whole lot. I still don't know a whole lot. And the older I get, I realize there's a lot of stuff to know, and I still don't know it. And I'm going to be, you learn humility as the years go by. It's not something that you automatically have. And I think the younger you are, the brasher you are. Jesse.
You're absolutely right. You humble yourself. feel humbled as I grow older, the more that I learn, the more I learn, the more I realize I didn't know.
Right.
And the more I realize that I still don't know. You know, in high school, the same thing as you when I was younger, it felt like I knew it all, right?
Right.
But, you know, the older you get, you realize, oh, man, there's just a whole world out there that I can't even know. I can't even know that one.
Right.
You know, and but you enjoy what you do know. And then also, with your humility, as you grow more humble, you also grow more bold in the things that you do know. And like the apostles, they prayed for boldness when they spoke about Christ. And so the things in our Christian lives, we are to be very humble because we understand that we are no more important than anybody else. However, we are also be bold in Christ and make stands for God, especially when speaking about His Son, Jesus Christ.
And when we look in Proverbs talks immensely about wisdom. And how you acquire wisdom, is seek after wisdom. And it seems like with wisdom, humility and wisdom kind of go hand in hand. In order to acquire wisdom, you need to be quiet. You need to be hold yourself back and see and learn from those who are around you. I've often used the example, wisdom, intelligence is learning from others' mistakes. Wisdom is what you get whenever you screw up. So after a period of time, you will gain wisdom, whether you like it or not. And with that wisdom will come humility. So it's all part of that growing process. And something that's interesting about humility nowadays, our current culture, it seems like humility and being humble is almost a negative thing. Most people are, at least in the professional field, I feel as though in my experience anyway, those who are brash, those who are prideful and puffed up and beat their chest and make the loudest noise around the office, especially in the corporate world, are the ones that get the promotions or the ones that get leadership. The individuals that are humble and pass on accolades to the people that are around them and not take the accolades for themselves are looked upon as, you're an idiot. You're the leader of that. Why didn't you take credit for that? A humble person is going to take credit where credit is due. However, they're also going to take and spread that credit around to others and count others better than themselves, as Christ did here. Jesse.
The world looks at that and they don't understand it. But as a Christian, you should understand that, you know, we sing the song, "This world is not my home."
Right.
Because we're not laying up treasures here. We're not counting on that promotion here. We're not counting on those things that so many people chase after. Here, we're laying up treasures for ourselves in heaven. And therefore, you know, they'll have their reward. They'll have what they desire.
Right.
Because that's the way the world works. But those who truly humble themselves, especially in God, will understand that it's not, you know, chasing after the things of this world is not worth it.
Let's continue on down to verse 6, because verse 5 there in 1 Peter 5, it talks more along the lines of how humility should work in the world and how you can benefit by humility in the world. But continuing on in verse 6, it's not just a good worldly advice, but it says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time He may exalt you." Now, when is that proper time? Well, that's going to be in God's time. But I feel safe in saying that, without a doubt, if we humble ourselves to God and we follow His commands, because essentially that's what's insinuated here. We must humble ourselves to God and make Him the master of our lives and not have the pride to say, this is my life, I'm in control, and I'm going to do this. No, we need to humble ourselves to God just the same way that Christ humbled Himself to the Father and gave us that example. God will exalt us at very minimum the last day. And essentially, that's the only day I really care about. This world is not my home, as Jesse said, as we sing those songs. This world is not my home. My ultimate goal is not necessarily to be successful in this world. And I've often said, if there's one soul that I save in this world, I want to make sure it's mine. If I'm going to be selfish about something, I'm going to make sure I'm selfish about my salvation. I don't want to lose my soul and gain the whole world. Then I've lost everything, right? So humbling ourselves to the mighty God, the mighty hand of God, He will exalt us. So I would much rather be exalted by God than man. Whenever we decide to not humble ourselves here in this world, we've gained our reward, haven't we? Whenever those individuals who are in the corporate world go around beating their chest and say, look at me, look at me, look at all these great things I'm doing, they receive their reward. The reward that I want to receive as a Christian is that exalting which God has said that He will give if I humble myself to Him. That's what I desire. And I hope that's what you desire too. But in order to get that, we've got to humble ourselves to God. Let's go ahead and continue on and look at another verse that kind of reiterates this point. James, the 4th chapter, verse 10. James 4:10. It says, humble yourselves before the Lord and He will exalt you. It just reiterates that exact same point. Different location. This same point is said many, many times throughout Scripture. So whenever the Scripture says something over and over and over again, it's something we should take note of and say, hey, this may seem like a little thing to the world, but this is a really big thing to God. Dale. Yeah.
The plot seems to start talking about quarreling and fighting among brethren there.
Warnings against worldliness.
Well, if there's that.
Yes.
And yes. So you're desirous of things you don't have. You covet things, you can't get it. You ask things, you don't get it because you ask wrongly.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because they are seeking how to make people whom they are leading into good leaders too.
Absolutely. And that's exactly what Christ did with His apostles. He taught them, He led them, and turned them into the leaders after he had ascended. If we take a look there in James, the 4th chapter, up a few verses there in verse 6, but He gives more grace, therefore it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. It's that opposition role. If we ourselves are proud, one, that's our reward. But God opposes the proud. Because anybody that's proud is not going to humble themselves before God, because their God is themselves. Pride is extremely dangerous. And I would say that humility is the opposite of pride. Pride is something that can be can easily slip into our lives. Kevin.
And of course, the exact same phrase is used there back in 1 Peter 5:5 was God opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble.
Right.
Also, you take into consideration there in Proverbs 6 that we looked at recently, where it talks about the things that God hates.
Yes.
And that are an abomination to Him.
Correct.
And the haughty eyes, the idea of pride and arrogance, is something that God truly opposes and is disgusted by. And when you think about it, you know, of all the different types of people you might find yourself around, probably the most unpleasant type of person to be around is the arrogant person. Right?
The arrogant.
They belittle everybody. Yep. They think they're better than everyone else. And that's just a really unattractive character characteristic that some people have.
The one upper, you know, you ever talk to a one upper? You know, you're really excited about something. You want to share something with them. Like, oh yeah, but I did this. I'm like, okay, well, yeah, that's great, awesome. So yeah, those people are a delight to be around, aren't they? Pride is an ugly, ugly thing. If we humble ourselves, how is that humility supposed to look like? How do we humble ourselves? Well, let's take a look at Matthew 18 and see our first example of getting an idea of how humility is supposed to look like. Matthew 18, let's start up there in the verse 1. And I think go down to, verse 4. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And calling to him a child, he put him in the midst of them and said, "Truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." What in the world were the disciples doing right there? They were puffing themselves up with pride or trying to figure out, well, who's the best? Who's the biggest? They were basically beating their chests, doing exactly what we've been talking you don't want to do. They were trying to figure out who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom. Now, again, they were looking through worldly eyes. They didn't get it. And Jesus is trying to tell them, you need to be like this child. Humble, innocent, knowing nothing, and realizing that. And as we said earlier, the older we get, we realize how much we don't really know. Even though, how much experience do we have? The older individuals in our congregation have seen a whole lot of things. And they also realize that they haven't seen a whole lot of things as well. There's great wisdom in that. And whenever a child, if you come to God as a child, you're innocent, empty-headed, essentially, and you fill yourself with His Word, fill your mind with His words, His wisdom, and make your will His will, a child is like that. A child is always wanting to please the parent, most of the time anyway. If you're doing a good job of being a parent, I think the child wants to emulate you in a lot of ways. So we have to be careful of the things that we do and be humble. So let's go on to Acts, the 20th chapter, verse 19. Serve the Lord with humility. Acts 20, verse 19. Oops. There we go. Okay. Serving the Lord with all humility and with tears and with trials that happened to me through the plots of the Jews. And this is Paul speaking to the Ephesian elders. Taking the humble route and trying to be humble is not always the easy path. Rarely is it the easy way to go. And Paul describes it here as being with tears and with trials happening to him. And of course, this was against all the Jews. But he didn't shrink declaring the gospel. He didn't shrink at all. He was still humble, but he was a powerful, powerful agent of Christ, a warrior. I don't think there's anyone that would dispute Paul's influence, his outspokenness. But in all those things, he was humble. He was able to. He knew hunger. He knew prosperity. He knew being shipwrecked. He knew prison. He knew being stoned. He knew all those things and experienced all those things with great difficulty. Yet, still was humble. So that's a good example for us as well. It doesn't necessarily mean that we are absolutely quiet, like the first synonym that I brought out. That can be a quality of humility. But we don't see Paul being quiet, right? But he definitely was humble. And so let's take a look at, I got down to 5 minutes, so I want to take a look at how we show humility, all right? So let's take a look at 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, verse 12 through 13. We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. How do we show humility? It's by serving others, esteeming others with love, esteeming those who have leadership over us, and allowing them to lead. And instead of saying being stiff-necked, there's a reason sheep don't bite shepherds, right? One, they got kind of floppy teeth and mouths, right? They're not built for that. We need to humble ourselves and not bite shepherds, not bite the individuals that have leadership over us, and let them lead. Maybe we have good ideas. Okay, you can suggest those things, but we need to have humility in ourselves. Restrain ourselves to some extent. Another example, work and labor of love. Let's go to Hebrews, the 6th chapter. Hebrews, the 6th chapter, verses 10 through 12. For God is not unjust so as to overlook your work and the love that you have shown for his name in serving the saints, as you all still do. And we desire each one of you to show the same earnestness, to have the full assurance of hope until the end, so that you may not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. We inherit those promises through faith and patience. That speaks to me of humility, that idea of humility. Whenever we have patience, we have faith, we are putting our own will aside and having full faith in the Word of God and patience with the individuals around us and showing that love. So that's one way that we, or a couple of ways that we can show humility, is through working with others and being humble through them and assuming that they are our betters. And being polite in our suggestions. Any suggestions that we would have for the eldership or those who are leading for us, it is done with respect and love. So how much more time we got, Tim? 1 minute. Okay, one more thing I want to suggest. Working for others. Ephesians 4:12. That says, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. If we take a step back and exalt others to show Christ, that is a way of that we can be humble, we can show that humility, that the work of God can be done, supporting those around us. It's just that extension of what we saw there in 1 Thessalonians and Hebrews. And then one more, I'm going to take you to Philippians, the 2nd chapter, verse 12. And this will be our final scripture for tonight. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. We need to fear God. We need to fear that everything that He has said is true. And that the reason I say fear is that is a reality. If we fail Him, if we fail to humble ourselves before Him, and we fail to make His will our will, we should be in fear and work out our faith with fear and trembling. Our God is a terrible God, meaning that He will judge. He is fair. But we can see in the Old Testament that he said what He said, and He did what He had said. If you sin, you die. That was what pretty much the whole Old Testament is about, is identifying sin is real. It separates you from God. You need God's will and His plan. And if you don't humble yourself to it, you should be afraid. All right, so that's humility for tonight. I thank you very much for your kind intention. And we'll have another topic that seems like a little thing, but adds up over a period of time and adds up to a big thing. Thank you.